Well, can I just say something in the nicest way possible? Charlie, you with me back there? I want you to help me speak this over this crowd this morning. I just feel led to say this. If you're here in this parking lot this morning with bad intentions, I pray God gives you a massive case of diarrhea. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, because this place is about spreading the love, the mercy, the grace, the compassion of Jesus Christ. If you're not about that, or at least not open to hearing about that, this is probably not the place for you. So I'm going to say that as nicely as possible. Is that cool? Everybody with me in that message back there in the back? All right. One of those days, man, the heat out here today. All right. Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Can I get a show of hands for any dads out here? A nod. Can I tell you what that means? Dads, it means the moms have seen us through one more year. They've carried us all these years. This is our one day that we celebrate, but we know who the true heroes are. So I'm here to tell you happy Father's Day, but don't let it go to your heads. The moms have carried us one more time. But no, in all seriousness, being a dad is a joy and a privilege. And I want to encourage you this. If your dad is still around, give him a call today. Reach out. Go see him if you can. If you are a dad yourself, the best advice I can give you is this. Just be present. You will mess it up. You will make mistakes. I am living proof of that I do so constantly. But I try to be there. So just being present. I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that the Father, the Holy Father, can do a lot through a dad that is there for his kids. They need you. So that's my talk for fathers today, all right? We're going to get into the word after that, but I just want to thank you for being a dad and just celebrate you, and let's pray to the Heavenly Father. That's where we get our strength from, over all the dads, and then we'll get into Scripture this morning, okay? Father, we thank you for all the dads that are here. We thank you for the dads that have had positive influences in our life. We thank you for being a gracious Father that maybe, even if there's someone here that can say, I didn't have that good a dad, that you have brought people in our lives to father us, to shepherd us, and that's provision from you. We pray that, honestly, even some of that happens in this place as we gather together, that if someone's here and they've never had maybe that role model, that they find that in a spiritual mentor here, that someone fathers and shepherds them, disciples them in the ways that you would have us to, because this is family. We read it last week that Jesus, you are the head of this family. We are your body. And in that, we are the fullness of you, Jesus. And that's amazing. So we thank you for that. Thank you for the dads. Bless them this year. May you guide them as they guide their children. Lead them as they lead their families. We pray your blessings over that, the time that we share in the word this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just got to ask, anybody back there, your stomach's feeling sick or anything? Like, everybody's good? I prayed that prayer. I just want to make sure. I hope you're all right this morning. All right. So we're going to read in Ephesians, but before we do, I want just to remind you of last week, that the power that God displayed in raising Jesus from the dead and seating him at the right hand of the Father is available in you. I ought to get an amen on that. God ought to, right? Hear me again. The power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father right now is available in you. And if it is not, it can be. That's good news too. Amen. Rosalind, what's up? That's good news, right? That is the gospel. All right. And so not only that, but even in that he told us that as we trust and as we believe and as that power becomes alive in us, that we are then placed into the body of Jesus Christ, that he is the head and the fullness of him, that if you want to see the fullness of Jesus, you need look no further than his church, his body. Look in this parking lot. Those who would say they are believers are in the church. And so we are the body and the fullness of Christ. Man, I wish there was some powerful stuff in Ephesians. I mean, you know, man, that's good stuff. And we're just kind of getting started in the introduction. So we get to chapter 2 this morning. I'm going to be brief. I know a lot of you have plans today. And man, I'm just thankful it's not raining like it was last night. Amen. Rain or shine, we'll be here, but we prefer the shine. All right, so Ephesians chapter 2, let me start at verse 1, and I'm going to read. It's so tempting to read further on, but I'm going to read just to the first part of verse 4. So if you kind of see it written like this, sometimes 4a we could call it. But when I stop there, I want you to key in on two very important words. And I'll close with those two important words today, but you'll pick up on it as I read, all right? And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world and following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God. I want you to realize this morning, coming out of this passage where Paul has talked about this immense power that lives inside of us, or can, should you choose to turn away from self and turn to a Savior, that from that and adding us into a body, he reminds us, and oh, by the way, you were dead. He's pointing out here that just from the depraved nature of our hearts, that not just that we were bad, not just that we had missed the mark, and that is all true, but that you were actually dead. Dead men and dead women walking. You look around in this parking lot, and I was thinking of that, and I was thinking that those of us that are still walking in that sin and self and have yet to turn to a Savior, that there is an absence of life. You may be walking around and breathing, but you are spiritually dead. I think back even before in the 60s, I looked this up, that there was this phrase that became popular as a guard was escorting a man or woman down death row as they were about to take their final breaths in whichever way they were about to be executed. You've heard it. You've seen it on film. What would they say? Dead man walking here. I think of The Green Mile. Anybody ever seen The Green Mile? Great movie, right? But you see that and you really realize that that is the case with us, that we, without Christ, are dead men walking. In fact, in a very familiar passage in the Bible, it says that the wages that you have earned just by drawing sinful breaths, just by living your life, even try as you may to be as good a person as you can be on your own, that the wages of your sin is death. Man, Keith, what a bummer. Why do you want to share that on such a glorious day as Father's Day, right? That the wages of sin is death. We have all earned it. You have earned it. As sweet as these precious children over here, they have earned it. We have all been born of Adam, just our inherited sin nature. We are depraved. Your wages is death. Now, The Green Mile was in my mind, but I also thought of probably a more appropriate movie. Anybody remember The Sixth Sense? If you haven't seen it, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on spoiler alerts. Do y'all know how old that movie is? Anybody want to guess? 22 years old. Does that make anybody feel old like it did me? The movie is old enough to vote and to drink. 22 years old, The Sixth Sense. I think the statute of limitations has run out, but I won't spoil the ending. It's a shocker. So give it a watch, but if you know that movie, you know where I'm going. Think about this. Haley Joel Osment preached this line in The Sixth Sense. You may not see the gospel there, but I feel like you can see it in a lot of places if you look. You feel alive. You feel like you're walking, you're breathing. How can I be dead in my trespasses? What did he say? I see dead people. Walking around like regular people, they don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead. Again, it may not make sense if you haven't seen the movie, but I figure after 22 years, we're safe to talk about that one. But they just don't know they're dead. They're walking around like regular people. I mean, you can look in this parking lot and everyone seems to be walking around fine and talking. But I want you to know there are dead people in this parking lot. Has to be in a size this big. There is someone here that is still dead in their sins, dead in their trespasses. He says it, you were dead in your trespasses in which you once walked. Some of us are still walking in those trespasses. I'm here to tell you, though, there is a better way. Verse 2, he continues on and he says this. He says, following the course of this world, the prince and the power of the air. I want you to know this morning that you have an enemy. He despises you. He despises God. And because he despises God, he despises you because the word tells us from the very first pages that you, my friend, that I am the image bearers of God. That we resemble him. That his hatred for God spills over to his pinnacle of his creation, his beloved that Paul talked about just a few verses back. Life will only make sense when you realize that just as much as you have a father, you have an enemy that is opposed to everything you do. Says to seek, kill, and destroy is his goals. He despises you. It kind of makes life make a little more sense when we look in the terms of spiritual warfare or a spiritual battle, right? That every day there is a battle going on that maybe you don't even see. There is a fight for you. There is opposition and there is redemption at work. How do you choose to walk? Do you choose to walk in just like this dead, trespassing sin kind of way, or walk in the Savior and allow him to redeem all of these things? It only makes sense when you recognize that we are in war. Opposition and rescue at work. Here's where I want to close this morning. I told you I'd be brief. You don't hear me say that much and then stick to it, but I want to read this to you again. You were dead in your trespasses. Not just merely missed the mark, not just bad, but dead. Dead men walking, dead women walking. Two beautiful words. And I'm going to tee it up for our friend that's going to be here next week to teach. But God. Now, here's why I feel like God led me to this place. There is so much good stuff. I'm envious of like not continuing on and reading the rest of this passage. But here's why I do this. I felt led of God to stop right here and to let those two words alone speak life to your heart and to let it marinate. Here's what I mean by this. I want you to think about this, that there is the most dramatic rescue mission in all of human history that happened with Jesus and his cross over your life. Look at me, friends. I want everybody to look this way. You were dead in your sins, but God. It kind of takes me back to a passage I referenced earlier. The wages of sin is death. And while it doesn't say just but God, it is a but God kind of statement. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you want to know what this place is about, if you want to know why we gather for this, to let you know that you were once dead in your trespasses and sin, but God. You pray with me this morning. Father, I pray that if there's someone here that has never met you for the first time, the rest of that story, but God, is through Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And we say finished because Jesus, you said the same. You said when you were about to take your last breath, it is finished. There's nothing more we have to do. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free gift. All we got to do is accept it. We were dead, but God. I want to pray this over your heart this morning. If you're here this morning and say, man, I don't know that I've truly ever accepted that free gift. There's nothing special you got to do this morning except just bow the knee, turn from self and turn to the Savior and say, I believe and but God in my life. I was dead and now I'm alive. I was lost, now I'm found. But God. If you've already believed that, maybe just falling back in love with that story this morning. Is it good to preach the gospel to yourself that you were dead, but God, now you are alive? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you again for the dads that are here. We thank you for you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for caring for us, loving for us, that creating us, knowing that we were going to miss the mark, knowing that we were going to take perfection in relationship with you and sin was going to mar it and stain it. But you made a way. There was no panicked meeting in heaven. Jesus, you have always been. You were always going to come and purchase our freedom. Your word says, slain before the foundation of the world. It was always the plan. Redemption story was always the plan. We were dead, but God. In Jesus' name, I pray that over people's hearts this morning that have never met you, that today would be the first time that the wages they earned is death. But instead of that, they exchange death for the free gift of God that is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We were dead, but God. For those of us that are alive in Christ, we thank you that we can look back and say, man, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. Not just for the hereafter, but for here and now. Your word tells us that you came. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we may have life and have it more abundantly here on earth right now. Your way is better than our way. Jesus, we love you. We need you. I pray your blessings over this crowd, that you draw people to you, Holy Spirit, that today would be the day of salvation. And for those that already have it, would be a day that you just draw us a step closer in intimacy with you. Jesus, we love you. And we pray your blessings over this place. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all hang tight and we'll call out names here in just a few. Thank you.